MarketGoldRadio.com. Check it out.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
That. I love that song. Takes me back to my high school days. Four Tops. They were great. I wonder if, I guess they're not doing anything anymore. The Four Tops. I wonder if they're still alive. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. He's still here. We thank you so much for joining us. It is Wednesday, November the 10th. Wow. In a few minutes, Wai-Feng Zhang of the George Mason University Mercatus Center is going to be with us. We are going to talk about, you heard about the buildup of, I guess you call it the mock buildup of U.S. Navy ships for military training purposes by China? What's going on with that? We're going to talk about it. Is the Biden administration going to do anything, pay attention to it, or what? We'll talk about it. And this morning, bad news, consumer prices have jumped to their fastest pace of growth in 31 years. 31 years. And it seems like Biden and his gang, they don't have a clue on what to do. We're going to get some thoughts on that and a few other things from the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself, Andrew Ceraci, later in the program. And is the American Medical Association now on the bandwagon of critical race theory? What are they doing talking about critical race theory? We're going to check into that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. If that Democrat reconciliation bill gets through, we're going to give you the top 10 states that will have the highest tax rates. The highest tax rates. So be prepared to pack your bags if you live there. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza. He's been with us for years, you know. And the reason is, first of all, he's a great guy. But secondly, he's got the best haircut in Tampa Bay, for my money. It's located in Dunedin in the Overcast Plaza, just north of State Road 580 on Overcast Drive. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And do not forget to listen to Good Morning Clearwater prior to our show and Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the TAN Talk Radio Network. It's always a delight to listen to Paul and Tracy Allen. Well, consumer prices, U.S. prices, have accelerated at the fastest annual pace in more than 30 years. Can anything else go wrong in this country? Isn't everything somehow going wrong? I mean, I hate to be a real harbinger of doom here, but we've got the worst inflation that most of us have ever lived through right now. We got supply chain bottlenecks, don't we? We're coming up to Christmas, and we're worried that we're going to be able to get the things we want to get under the tree for the family. We got the border wide open, people pouring through. We're putting them on planes, and we're dropping them off all over the country. Not vaccinated, either. It just seems like there is so much that we're worried about right now. I guess we hope that things are going to change. But how are they going to change? Hoping doesn't do anything. How are they going to change? Why are we shutting down pipelines? Why are we condemning pipelines? Why are we shutting down areas for fracking in this country? What is the purpose? Do we really think that if we do that, we'll go solar quicker? Is that what they think? They're going to raise the rates of gasoline, what? We're paying about $3.50 here, close to it, I think. I don't remember the last amount, but it's got to be close. What are they paying in California? What are they paying in New York? You know? That's why Biden and his entire group is rolling it. It's like funneling down the drain.
Well, we discussed on Monday that Biden's new energy secretary, she said that we should quit worrying about oil prices and oil production and start focusing more on clean energy like electric and solar.
Yeah, get used to the high prices. Well, that's what they want us to do. Get used to it.
Paul, how many times when you watch a TV, how many times do you see a commercial for an electric car? About every company out there has got an electric car on the market right now.
Yeah,
and they're advertising it,
and they're getting better and better with them.
But you know what, Paul? Try to buy one.
I know
you can't. A, it's too expensive, and B, they're so far behind that Ford pickup White Lightning that debuted right around when football season started in September. The waiting list is ridiculous to try to get one of those things.
Yeah, it's very discouraging.
They can't build them fast enough.
Right, right.
I mean, they're like $80,000 to begin with, but it's not like you just turn around and go, oh, well, you know what? Okay, well, let's forget about the oil. Let's go buy an electric car.
Well, you know, the thing, too.
But there's a lot of restrictions on electric car. I'm not sold on it. Paul, if you want to go visit your relatives in Ohio, and you want to drive from Florida to Ohio in a gas car, you can drive straight through. Stop, whatever. You got to stop, recharge, wait, and then continue your ride.
If you can even find a charging station.
If you can find it, well, you can pull up to a gas station and get electric. You know.
Do they have them now at all the gas stations?
No, I would imagine you can just, can't you just bring an extension cord there and then just go to the bathroom and carry it into the bathroom and plug it in above the sink? Can't you do that?
I tried to do that with my cell phone. Maybe you can do it with your car if it's electric.
Have you even answered a call on your cell phone yet?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Okay. Have you made a call?
Hey, listen,
by the way, don't know, Paul is the last person on the planet that finally got a cell phone.
Yeah. I still have the RCA Victrola when I listen to music, okay?
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Good old vinyl.
but I am coming into the 21st century a little bit, yeah. I learned how you can talk text. You know, you can talk to your... Well, you know this better than I do, but you can talk to your cell phone. It will start printing the text as you're talking.
Well, you know, that's called voice text.
I like that.
Okay. You know, we'll change the name of the show to the new hip Paul Molloy Freedom Work Show.
You got it.
He's on the voice text. Look out, folks.
I am, man. I am. Wait till I start wearing my bell bottoms. Yes. I'm going to be really in like Flynn. All right. So... You just got me totally off.
Well, we were talking about the electric cars.
Okay, here's the thought. If you allow the free market in our country, in other words, if you take the vice grips off of the free market, we're going to create these things. When we'll probably create them quicker, better, more efficiently, and less expensively than any other place if you allow us to do it. Mm. But the heavy hand of government that stomps down on what's going on and directs you is what's screwing everything up. We'll get there, and we'll get there quicker, we'll get there better, we'll get there more efficiently. Because, you know, these car companies, they want to make money. Mm-hmm. And when they see that these electric cars are a thing of the future, they're going to invest in them. I mean, it's just that simple. And there are going to be other companies. Look what we're doing now in space with private companies.
But can I ask you something? When you go to charge that electric car, where does the electricity come from?
Oh, of course.
A fossil fuel?
Yes.
A fossil fuel electric plant?
A truck brought the batteries. Yes. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. We haven't got to the point where we can disengage. Somehow Biden wants to disengage, he and his cronies. They want to disengage. That's why we don't want the federal government telling us when to disengage. We'll tell them when to disengage in the free market, you know? Anyway, very interesting discussion. Thank you for getting my...
There you go.
You know, everything up. That's good. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about China. Talk about concern here. They're building mock-ups of U.S. naval carriers. What's going on with that?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Remember those great songs from the 50s, 60s, and 70s? Well, then don't miss JT's Oldies But Goodies. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. JT will be playing the greatest hits as well as the forgotten oldies. These records are sure to bring back memories, so tune in and reminisce with JT's Oldies But Goodies, playing songs from three great decades. Saturdays from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks and delighted to have back Weifeng Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center of George Mason University. And he knows a great deal about China. And maybe he also knows a great deal about what and why they do what they do. But we've got a real issue going on, Weifeng, with China building these mock-ups, apparently so that their military can do some testing. They build these mock-ups of U.S. Navy aircraft carriers. What is going on with that?
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
I think that's a very important question for sure. One thing to note is that this is not new, though, meaning that setting up mock-ups and for military practices, common in China, common in other countries, too. But what is unusual this time was that it's a U.S. carrier mock-up, and it clearly shows that what's on Beijing's mind is a possible U.S. involvement, perhaps in the Taiwan Strait, perhaps in South China Sea. And so it really shows how much tensions there have been surrounding the issue surrounding Taiwan, for example.
Yeah. I mean, I just read that China now has the largest Navy in the world. They have surpassed the United States. They're surpassing the United States in all kinds of things. We're not surpassing them. They're surpassing us. I think we've lost. You know, I mean, an argument can be made that we are no longer the number one country in the world in many respects, and China would be that. But it seems to be one more indication, and I'm worried about the Biden administration and their attention to this. Are they? Do you think they're paying appropriate attention to what China is doing?
I think a long-held policy U.S. has, way before President Biden came to office, was the what's called a strategic ambiguity toward Taiwan, or toward whether the U.S. would defend Taiwan if China invades the island. And the idea, so the policy essentially says that we're not going to say whether we would come to Taiwan's defense. We might not, and keep them guessing. The rationale for decades has been that the U.S. wanted to keep the Taiwanese military on its toes, meaning that if you promise to defend them, they're not going to invest and they're not going to try to get better. It also avoids provoking Beijing. If you make it clear, Beijing might get angrier. But if we think about recent developments, though, I think that policy is out of date because China's intention to take over Taiwan is abundantly clear. And Taiwan's military has come a long way, too. So I think it's now it's time to make clear that the U.S. would defend Taiwan if China invades. And that's what President Biden should do and break from the U.S.
He actually said that in so many words. Then they walked it back.
Yeah, so
he has stumbled over that line a few times in different topics. You know, he stumbled over the line of the old thinking, or at least what we perceive to be the old thinking of our defense of Taiwan, and other things where he's talked about, well, we're not going to shut down a particular pipeline. Then they say, well, maybe they are considering shutting down a pipeline, and we're not going to pay. It's garbage that we're going to pay fees to illegal aliens that are separated from their children at the border. Now, then they walk that back. So he is, it seems like they're pulling him to the left when he's kind of stumbling in, you know, into the moderate zone again. And I'm wondering about this with China, you know? I'm sorry,
yeah,
but go ahead with that.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I think messaging is hugely important, hugely undervalued. And sending mixed messages like that, if you say you would defend Taiwan and then come out to deny it, it's way worse than not saying anything at all. And President Biden has made that mistake twice in just about the last couple of months, I think, 2 or 3 months. And so I think that's very damaging. And in light of all these developments in the desert China is doing to build markup, I think it makes it ever more important for U.S., for Washington policymakers to, you know, get together and send clear messages and strong messages to China to deter them from invading Taiwan.
Mm-hmm. So are they doing this to provoke us by building these mock-ups? I mean, do they really need it for training purposes?
They probably might. I'm not a military expert, but I monitor, as you know, Chinese propaganda and what they say and do not say. And one thing I noticed in this particular episode was that after the news broke, journalists, they asked the spokesperson at the China's foreign ministry, and the spokesperson said, I'm not aware of this development, meaning the mock-ups. And that denial is actually widely reported in Chinese national media, which means that they're not afraid to let the foreigners know that they know that China is building the mock-up. So, indirectly acknowledging it, which suggests that the action is more of, at least it has the purpose of sending a signal to the U.S. that, you know, we are thinking about this. And that's actually reinforced the point of messaging. Perhaps the issue here is not really military action, but really about sending strong messages. And that's what Washington is falling behind Beijing.
Do you think that, I'm thinking this, everybody kind of, there's a wink and a nod about Biden. He's not going to take action against China if they would invade Taiwan. That this administration has no plans to do anything. I'm not sure that the Trump administration, other than beating their chest, would do much. But I'm more convinced that Biden would do nothing. Isn't this a good time, if they were going to do something like this, to take advantage of Joe Biden being president?
I think it's possible. I agree with your general assessment that the U.S. probably may not do much. I don't actually see a scenario, however, of the U.S. absolutely doing nothing, because that would be a huge retreat on liberal democracies if the U.S. just sits there and does nothing if China invades the island.
What can they do? What could they do, though?
I think it could, short of military action, the U.S. could potentially provide logistic support to other countries who are more explicitly supporting Taiwan's defense, for example, Japan, South Korea, so logistic supports could be provided without actually violating the strategic ambiguities.
But do you think that would stop China?
That they should abandon.
Yeah, but do you think that would stop China from wanting to take control? We know they want to take control. They consider Taiwan a bunch of renegades that had no business breaking away. It belongs to them, much like, I guess, Russia thinks Ukraine belongs to them. And Russia went in there during the, the Obama administration, basically took back the Ukraine, right? So I would not be surprised if they would act now. They got a few years left with Biden, supposedly. I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that they might grab that island. Your thought on that?
I agree with you. This is actually one of the predictions we made from the Policy Change Index over a year ago, because we saw unusual emphasis on China's military power. And typically that's what's needed if there's a policy that's not exactly popular in China. But what the Chinese government wanted to do, it would typically try to convince the public before actually taking the action. That's why back in 1989, the Chinese propaganda said the students who came out in Tiananmen Square to protest, toward the end, the propaganda was saying that those are like morons, traitors, to justify the shooting of them. And the same happened last year when they started to talk up the military and possibly the military dominance in the region. And that would suggest that not exactly popular actions like invasion of Taiwan might be on the horizon and might actually come up sooner than U.S. military leaders who said China might be ready in, I don't know, another 8 years, another 6 years. But the propaganda analysis suggests that might be actually closer in the horizon.
Wow. We're talking with Weifeng Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center of George Mason University, and we rely on him to kind of get into the inscrutable thinking of the leaders of China. And I'd like to get into their thinking with you a little bit more in the future, Weifeng. What do you think are the long-term goals of the leaders of China? I mean, the long-term goals as far as military activity and where they really want to be. I mean, do they have some sort of a game plan hidden, maybe, you know, up on the wall if you get way down into the bowels of their government? Here's what we want to do. This is what, you know, this is our real intentions for the rest of the world. I mean, any thoughts on that?
The Chinese economic and political success in the past, since the economic reforms in the late 1970s, has been a model in which they try to pursue capitalism without democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And that model has only come so far, and now it's already facing a lot of challenges, because if you do it this way, then you are going to go up against the Western democratic values, because you're using forced labor at home and you are not respecting pro-democracy, demand for democracy in Hong Kong, for example. So all these are sort of running up against a wall now. And the Chinese ambition is quite clear that they wanted to continue pursuing this model. And that's certainly not something that the Western societies want to see. And so it really makes it kind of necessary that China would be even ever more aggressive, because they want to maintain a model that's not consistent with what we believe in here. And so the conflict is certainly almost on the horizon, unless China abandons the economic reforms or go full-blown democracy. I don't see the latter. I don't see the former either. So the only thing I can see is more conflict on the horizon.
Yeah. So they're conflicted. They want to continue to be a major player in the creation of goods and products on the free market and sell these products.
Yeah, but they don't want to.
Go ahead.
They don't want to become a more democratic.
But they don't want the democracy that may go along with the freedom to create the products. They want to continue to control the manufacturing of the products because they want to control the freedom of the people to some extent, right?
Right. And also, enhanced economic engagement China has with the rest of the world allows China to have a lot of leverages. For example, the One Belt, One Road initiative. It's not really just about infrastructure projects, but about because China's doing all these infrastructure projects, all these developing countries or underdeveloped countries will be on China's side in the international community when China wants to pursue certain not exactly democratic agenda. And so all these countries in Africa, in South America, would be more pro-China and maybe vote with China in the United Nations, for example. So this sort of leverages is what China could gain with economic engagement, and they are not shy about it at all.
Right. Finally, Biden's administration going all over, going to Europe, talking about climate change. Does China care about climate change at all? I mean, they're the major player in producing things that might harm the environment. And unless you can get them to go along with things, do they really care at all about climate change?
It seems China does care, but not to the extent of working in this manner closely with Western countries on that. So the China actually might care domestically, which is why actually, if you remember, just some weeks ago, China was having this power shortage at home, precisely because of earlier Chinese environment policies that try to reduce the use of coals and in order to generate electricity, because that lets out too much greenhouse gas, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So these kind of energy policies, they are already in place in China. It's just that China is not interested in working with other nations in a cooperative way.
Right. They want to do it their own way in their own time. Weifeng, truly love talking with you about these things. This is such an important topic. Going to have you back, I know, down the road. And thank you so very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Paul, for having me. The pleasure is all mine.
All right, sir. Thank you. Weifeng's on. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, consumer prices, they have jumped their fastest in 31 years. Does Biden care? We're going to get some thoughts on that, a few other things, with the proprietor of the Barber Pole himself, Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Wednesday. Thank you so very much for being with us here on Freedom Works. And here's another thing about this open border deal. The Biden administration is launching an effort to send court documents to, I guess, tens of thousands of immigrants who crossed the border illegally and didn't get any paperwork. Now, how are you going to send the documents to these people? By passenger pigeon? This is one more thing. Supposedly, when these people are allowed entry into the United States and they are not citizens, they have to report to court. And they were normally supposed to get these documents that would give them a time and a place to report. They've abandoned that. They've abandoned that. And so an ICE person has confirmed they're sending what they call charging documents to these migrants. And first of all, I don't think they're going to get half these documents out to the people that they, you know, that need to get them. It's just a mess. It's just becoming a total mess. And we did talk indeed about consumer prices now. 6.2% from a year ago. Everything that you're buying, look at gas, it's even higher than that. So, Andrew, could Biden do it worse? It's almost like he's trying to destroy himself and the country with it.
Paul, we're going down the tubes with this guy.
I know.
Everybody knows it. Everybody sees it. But you know what? Nobody's doing nothing about it, Paul.
No, they're not.
You got to figure. We've got 21,000 illegal immigrants with this moron dumped in Florida.
Indeed. And in the middle of the night, to some extent.
I mean, what is wrong with people? I think we should have vigilante groups at all these airports.
Yes.
In these flights.
Forcing them back on the planes.
That's right. I mean, this is ridiculous. You know the crime rate that's going to happen, Paul, with 21,000 illegal immigrants?
Why don't they send them all to Washington, D.C. instead of...
Because Washington, D.C. is already Democrat, Paul. See, Biden wants to keep the playing field even. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, Florida became blue all of a sudden, didn't it?
Well, actually, I think we talked about the fact that Florida, for the first time, has now more Republican registered voters than Democrats. Did you know that?
Hey, Paul, he's sending all these illegals to the red states.
Yeah.
He's trying to turn them blue. And that's the only way they know how to do it.
No, I think you're right.
With it.
Yeah, it's an evil, it's a Machiavellian thing. It's Machiavellian.
There's no question about it, Paul. It needs to be stopped.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how we stop it at this point, but I think the American citizens all need to join in and say, we've had enough.
A year from now, we're going to probably see a Republican-controlled Senate, House, and Biden hiding somewhere in the corner of the White House. You know what I mean?
It's just, especially if Trump becomes Speaker of the House.
Yeah, you keep bringing that up.
There, Paul.
You know the chances of that happening?
Vision. Paul, I had a vision.
Uh-oh.
I had a vision. I was visited, I'm telling you.
Go ahead.
Trump would be Speaker of the House, buddy.
Uh-huh.
It's the only way we can stop what is going on in this country today. The only way. There's no other means to stop it, Paul. The Republicans, look at them, 13 of them went for their infrastructure bill.
Yeah, well, and a whole bunch of them also announced that they're not going to be running again next year. Isn't that funny? There's about four or five of them. Of those 13 that said they're not going to run again.
We need to get rid of all 19 rhinos that are left in there and have the new Republican Party. However, what's got to be done in 2022 to control all this is Trump. There's nobody else that got the cayoons to do it, Paul.
So you're trying to get Trump into the White House before 2024.
You got to. It's the only choice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you look at it logically, he's 75 years old now, right?
Yeah.
Next year, he's 76.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God, we pray that he still has the strength and he doesn't turn out like Biden at 78.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, if he gets in there for those 2 years, he can turn around what's going on. He can clean house. Listen, let's face the facts. The Speaker of the House has more power than the president.
Well, right now, much more power than the president.
Okay? So he can control what's happening.
But, Andrew, it's not realistic.
Why isn't it realistic?
Because you got to get rid of... Because you got to get rid of three people. The president, the vice president, and the current speaker. That's why. It's going to be almost impossible to do that.
First of all, when the Republicans take over the House, the current speaker's gone.
Correct.
Okay.
Now you got another...
Don't worry about...
Yeah, that next year... Go ahead.
You got Trump as the speaker.
Okay.
Okay?
So yeah.
You got to get rid of two people.
Yes.
The president and the bunny. Now look at how fast they impeached Trump, huh? On nothing.
But they didn't get him removed from office. You've got to have two-thirds of the Senate to...
Paul, listen. Ahead. If the Republicans take over the Senate, you're going to have two-thirds.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's not the
not
rhinos,
two-thirds.
Okay?
You won't have two-thirds.
The rhinos.
Well, you're not going to have two-thirds of the Senate taken over by the Republicans. I wish that were the case. There's only one-third of the Senate that's up for election right now. In fact, I can tell you, hold on just a second because I got it right in front of me. Next year, let's see here. Where do I find that deal? Okay, here it is, I think. The Republicans need a net gain of just one seat to recapture the Senate majority. While they are defending 20 of the 30, there are 34 seats up for grabs next year. One-third of the Senate every 2 years is up. They have six-year terms, right? So 20 of the 34 are Republicans. That means that there are 14 seats that are Democrats. Now, there's a good chance...
Remaining.
Yes. The more seats that are up for grabs from a particular party... the more they are in peril of losing numbers that they had before. But we think the Republicans should maintain. And they may pick up one or two. All they need are one or two seats, and they will have the majority. There's no way they're going to get two-thirds. They won't have two-thirds.
Let me tell you this, then. If Trump gets in and becomes Speaker of the House, you have a lame duck president. And mm-hmm. That's what we need right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I think there's a good chance Biden won't survive the 4 years, the remainder of his
term. It doesn't matter. Look what you got after that.
That's right. And that's going to be the rub. Because no matter how clumsy she is, what are you going to do? Say, hey, get out? You're too stupid to be president?
He's a lame duck. He's a lame duck, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Then meanwhile, you can get the House and the Senate to try and prove certain things that the president ain't going to be able to do nothing.
Don't you think it's probably more realistic that the Republicans win the House, so they now got basically control of the major, I call it the major body of Washington, is the House, the Congress. So they win that. There's a good chance they win the Senate. Now Biden can't do a doggone thing. No matter what he wants to do, he can't get it past Congress, right? He can't pass any more bad legislation. We're worried about what he's going to pass between now and then. And I think they realize that. So this is why they're throwing everything, including the kitchen sink.
You know, Paul, by that time, they might have to worry about the American public.
Yeah, I agree.
And I would worry more about the American public mm-hmm. than I would the Republicans or the Democrats.
I think you're right about that.
Okay, I mean, I don't think they want to see 20 million people marching on Washington, because if they think the insurrection, the so-called insurrection of January 6th was something, well, I got news for you.
Yeah.
You march 20 million people on Washington and see what's going to happen. I don't think there'll be any politician left.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it might come to.
Maybe it will.
I'm hearing people every day, Paul. I've heard Democrats, the person that has the dog grooming place next to me, they're perfect Democrats, right?
Right.
They are. They cannot believe what is happening.
And I'm just going to make that point. You know how many Democrats are changing because of what these, because they've been lurched, the Democrats, so far to the left, and are trying to throw all of this junk at us with socialistic, the whole socialistic philosophy of having the federal government do what we know the private free market can do better. They want the federal government to do it. This is why so many people that were Democrats are no longer Democrats.
Paul, what this country needs right now is a walkout with the American people. Everybody walk off of their job, shut everything down for 3 or 4 days and see what happens.
As a matter of fact, they're doing that anyway because of the mandate or the attempted mandate by Biden on getting vaccined, getting the shot. Look at all of these people who said no, we're not going to do it. Look at the teachers, they're having to backtrack. They're having to backtrack in certain areas because
Paul,
they don't have enough people to do the job.
Paul, first of all, I think it's disgusting what's going on with all this vaccine. The vaccine is the most important thing on their mind. Meanwhile, you got China making mock mock dummies of our aircraft carriers shooting at them.
Right.
Okay, they're worried about a shot. They're going to get a shot, but it's not the one they're thinking of.
Yeah, we were just talking about that prior to your coming on. Yeah.
They're sitting there building models of our aircraft carriers, blowing them up. And you would think Biden cares. You got to get the shot. The shot is the most important thing in the world. That guy needs to be shot. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, they're finally having... Did you hear about this? That they're finally having a cabinet meeting? You know, typically you sit down with your cabinet. Not that Biden even knows he's got a cabinet. He doesn't know who the cabinet members are, I don't think. But they finally coaxed him into sitting down. He hadn't had one since July. This is his cabinet. The people that are supposed to take his directive, you know? It's bizarro world.
Paul, they need to put them all in the cabinet and close the doors, buddy.
Yes.
That's what they need to do. Okay?
Yes.
But what's going on is no good. People are seeing it. And let me tell you something. The American people are really getting pissed, Paul. I hear it every day.
I agree with you. I think there is a boiling point.
We have National Walkout Day. The whole country walk out of work and put our Brandon shirts on.
Yes. I wonder if anybody, by the way, is making those kinds of shirts. I'm sure they are. The bumper stickers, the shirts, the coffee mugs, everything. Let's go Brandon, right? Oh, goodness.
Well, this is the most hated administration in my lifetime that I have ever seen.
Yeah.
Hated administration.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, these Democrats definitely got buyer's remorse, believe me.
Yeah.
They're the first ones complaining.
Well, another poll, this one, I think it was USA Today or who cares. He's down to like 38% approval. His girlfriend, vice president, she's at 28%. I mean, they must realize how badly they are doing.
And you know, Paul, I think those are high ratings on him.
It could be.
I think he's way below 38%.
I think he might be right. Yeah, they oversample Democrats.
I don't see anybody waving their Biden flag anywhere.
No.
I don't hear anybody even say I voted for him. They're afraid to.
I think you may be right.
They are afraid to, Paul. And you know what? Look at the Republicans that voted on this infrastructure bill. They're getting death threats.
Yeah. Now, that's not
they
a good thing.
It.
That, no. Not death threats. We don't want that. We want them out. We want them to either jump out or we want them to be primaried out. That's what we want.
I want him tar and feathered.
Well, we can tar and feather
like
them.
Like the old days, Paul. Like the old days. Make examples. You know, Paul, I want you to look up a guy that's running for Congress in so-called Biden's hometown of Pennsylvania. He's a biker. I can't think of his name. But look up the biker that's running.
Okay. I'll make a note. Biker.
And the biker that's running for Congress
in Scranton?
Hometown.
Scranton?
Yeah, that's his hometown, right?
That's his hometown, yes.
That's where he's running.
Okay.
I need to watch this guy's video. Very, very impressive, Paul.
Okay.
And this is what I think you're going to see running, Paul. They want to get rid of all these lawyers that are in our government. We're tired of the lawyers, Paul. Do you know why they bury lawyers 20 feet deep instead of 6 feet deep?
Why?
Because deep down, they're okay.
That's pretty good. I like that one. Thank you, Andrew.
Stop by the shop on your way home.
I will. Thank you for that, my friend.
Talk to you later.
Love you. All right, buddy. You know, I was afraid he'd come up with some sort of a dirty joke. Weren't you a little bit? Anyway, he's feisty as ever. Makes a lot of sense, in my opinion. All right, let's take our final break. And when we come back, the American Medical Association. Now they're involved in critical race theory. They're on the bandwagon. Apparently, we're going to check into it.
Oh, what a night. Late December back in 63. What a very special time for me. As I remember what a night.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Those 3 days, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. And we invite you to listen to us whenever you can. However, if you cannot listen to us because those times are bad for you on certain days, you can listen to us on podcast. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast on our website. So go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And right at the top, you'll see the podcast button. And away you go. All right. Now, the American Medical Association, you know, I've always thought that they were somewhat, they were someone that we would respect. They were really looking out for the right things, you know, pure-hearted kinds of people. The American Medical Association recently released a guide on advancing health equity that promotes how to fight for critical race theory. And it includes a list of words not to say and their equity-focused alternatives when you have patients coming into your place. It's a 55-page document, was released in late October. And it cites a guide by the organization called Race Forward, for how to advocate for critical race theory. And it's called A Guide to Counter-Narrating the Attacks on Critical Race Theory. What is going on? Why are they getting involved in critical race? Their job is to make sure that we have good medical people that are that we go to for our health problems. Do we have to start talking politics? I don't understand that. I really don't understand. Why are they getting involved in it? Here is AMA President Gerald Harmon explaining the reasoning behind this guide. He put this in a blog post. He says, as with science, our language must change and evolve over time based on new revelations and a deeper understanding. What? What does it have to do with keeping people well? I don't understand that. I really don't. And, you know, it's one more group that should stay the hell out of politics as much as possible. Now, I know the American Medical Association and the board and the leaders and everything, of course, there are politics because of your involvement with Washington. But this is ridiculous. They're in the wrong neighborhood as far as I'm concerned. All right. Hey, Ed, before we get to our top 10, I know the answer, but I want you to say it anyway. Are you a college basketball fan?
No.
Okay. The college basketball season started last night. I was so excited. Ed is about as excited about watching college basketball as watching paint dry on a sidewalk?
You could ask me who's playing last night and put a gun to my head, and I wouldn't have an answer.
Okay. Enough about that. What about our beloved Lightning? I watched them play.
Lost again.
They lost in overtime. Very exciting game.
Hmm.
Carolina? Do you think they're a better team than the Lightning? Do you watch any of it?
I do, but I think the Lightning are just struggling right now.
Yeah,
tell the truth.
When is
trying to find the identity.
When is Kucherov coming back?
I don't know. We can't get a straight answer on that, to tell you the truth.
What is wrong with him? Do you know?
It's a lower body injury, so it could be anything. Who knows?
Yeah, we're talking about Nikita Kucherov. Yeah. Many think he's the best player.
Don't know if it's a knee, hip deal, whatever it is. I don't know.
He's had
some dings here and there.
Yeah, okay. All right, we have a very interesting top 10. These are the top 10 states that would have the highest tax rates if the Democratic Reconciliation Bill passed. The average tax rate on personal income, if it passed, would rise to 57.4%. 57.4%, according to the Tax Foundation, the average tax rate, all right? So these are the top 10 states, if it passes, with the highest tax rates. Number 10, Kansas.
Mm.
Kansas, I wouldn't think they'd make the top 10. They tend to be a Republican state, and I always thought they had lower taxes. But if it happens, their tax rate would be 59.6%. Number 9, Vermont. Vermont, 60.2%. Have to cut down on buying all of that maple syrup there. Number 8, Maryland, 60.4%. Number 7, Minnesota. And I figured Minnesota might be in there. They have a lot of taxes there. 61.3% for Minnesotans. Number 6. And this is another state that's kind of like Minnesota, Oregon. And even 62% in Oregon if this thing passes. Wow. Number 5. And it serves them right. Washington, D.C., 62.2% for them. All those taxes that they like to levy. Number 4. Another high tax state. Beautiful state, but Hawaii. Hawaii's rate, 62.4%. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
No, I have not.
Would you ever want to go?
Sure.
Yeah, it'd be fun, wouldn't it? Mm. Number 3. I know this state you'd like to go to, New Jersey, and it's at 63.2%. Good God. 63.2%. Ugh. Number 2.
A trip to New Jersey would be something you get in a divorce settlement if you lose.
Yes. You have to live in New Jersey for 5 years. Hey, that would cut down on a lot of divorce. How about that? Mm-hmm. If you get divorced, you have to go to New Jersey
for
5 years.
One of you
have
to move to New Jersey.
No, both of you. Yeah. That way you keep people together. Do you understand? That's the idea there. All right, number 2 is California. Yeah, okay, we do it again. Number 2 is California.
Mm.
Are we surprised?
No.
No, we're not. And it's 64.7%. Number 1.
Got to be New York.
Bingo. Bingo. Mm-hmm. 66.2% in New York, the Empire State. Yikes. That's why they're all coming here. Hey, thank you so much for listening. We will be back on Friday. Drive safely, and remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM